This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the Line Breaks. Here's episode 50, part 1, where I talk with Lizzie Wrights about her poem, The 10 Most Beautiful Things. I hope you enjoy.
My name on YWP is Lizzie Wrights. And I'm going to be reading my poem, The 10 Most Beautiful Things. The first most beautiful thing is laughter from the people I love. It's bubbling joy coating every surface like honey, gooey and sweet, like my dad's eyes, bright and crinkled at the edges from years of smiles. The second is the warm sunshine on my face, billowing on the wind and devouring me in its afternoon streamers. The third is a flower field in the sunset with a couple in love, sharing a moment of hallmark before dusk, before the high takes one fell swoop and becomes the lowest point in their lives, like the falling action of a romance. They're left basking in the golden light of the fading sun, happy. Fourth is the moon, intensely bright, like a magnitude of silver, surrounded by stars on a nice clear night, cuddling close under a blanket under the sky with a loved one. Looking for shooting wishes, rocketing through the darkness. The fifth is when the red and orange leaves start falling on a warm fall day, when all the mountains transform from green to copper, giving a livid feeling of comfort and a craving for pumpkin pie. The sixth most beautiful thing is walking through the woods, the soft grass making your footfalls near silent, the lanes of light coming like paint strokes from the gaps in the canopy, and all around you, a forest of silver birch, creating a scene of peace and serenity, with the birds' quiet melodies strumming through the air. Seventh is the cool breeze playing with the wisps of your hair, rustling the green leaves and carrying the scent of snow, while the spring buds slowly take shape on the boughs of branches. As you start walking through the trees, you find a gap. The dappled light on the forest floor slowly emerges into a patch of bright green grass. And before you lies a beautiful waterhole being fed by a small waterfall. Lily pads and catnip plants dance along the surface, and you feel amity, alone with nature. The eighth is on a stormy night, the loud booms of thunder that send the walls quaking and the veins of bright light shooting up and illuminating the clouds. Then the steady pitter-patter slowly dies down, and as you look back out the window, you see the sun peek through the dark plumes of the heavens and a rainbow sitting bright and true in the wake of the storm. The ninth most beautiful is the crisp turning of a page and the smell of old paper and ink wafting up and creating a nest in your mind, cuddling close by the fire with your puppy, with the streaks of amber and gold casting shadows upon the wooden walls. The 10th is when you finally release a secret you've held in for so long you can't remember when you started to hide it. When the dam you've created it slowly cracks and the tears finally come hot and salty and fast. And it's finally all out of you. You're released and nervous, but you're proud of yourself for finally liberating that weight that you've been dragging along for ages. That constant worry over what they'll think if they find out. It's all gone. The tears, the secret, the regret, gone. And you're finally at peace.
Oh, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
Well, I'm in the writing club at my school. It has a total of 3 members, which does not amount to very much. But we do this 7-minute write where my English teacher gives us a prompt, and the one for a couple of weeks ago was the 10 most beautiful things. And so I made this out of that.
That's so cool. I remember in my writing classes when we'd have like 7 minutes to write something, or it had to be in 50 words or less or 20 words or less. And it always felt like I need so much more time and so much more space. But I think it's cool when you're able to create something that feels very thought out in a short period of time.
Yeah. I got to probably like the third stanza when we had to stop. And so I was so worried because I'm like, oh no, I only have 3 when I'm supposed to have 10. And so there were many revisions with this one, but I'm happy with the end result.
That's great. What was the first line or phrase that you thought of, and how did you kind of go from there with it?
The first thing that popped in my head was my dad laughing, because it's like my favorite noise in the world is hearing my dad like burst out laughing at something. And so that was the inspiration for the first stanza.
Oh, I love that too. The sound of like people laughing just makes me so happy. Like if someone else is laughing, I'll just start like dying laughing too. It's so contagious. So I was gonna talk about that line too. It's one of my favorite lines, like honey, gooey and sweet, like my dad's eyes bright and crinkled at the edges from years of smiles. It's so like vivid for me to see that.
Thank you. I think I really like making analogies in my poems because it makes it feel more like natural, because I feel like a lot of my family and friends anyways use a lot of analogies when they talk, which is really funny to me because I don't, but it's like in my writing, I feel like it comforts me a little bit to have it there. So yeah.
Yeah. And another thing that I liked is how it feels like there's each stanza is like its own scene or like moment from a movie or like experience. Was that intentional? And if so, did you think of specific memories that you have?
Actually, yes, it was intentional. And it's like, actually, I was thinking of movie scenes because I love doing that when I'm writing, where it's like I can picture it so vividly. So it's like I loved making these different scenes of these different, it's like different chapters of a book for me. It's like everything is very different. So I don't know how I connected that to being like a chapter of a book, because chapters are very similar, but like different and
yeah, fun. They're all unique in their own way, but they all connect somehow. There's like some underlying theme, which is the 10 most beautiful things. So I also love the stanza about the flower field and the sunset with a couple in love sharing a moment of Hallmark before dusk, because the lowest point in their lives, like the falling action of a romance. It reminded me of like a rom-com, and I love rom-coms.
I love drama TV shows, and so it's like, well, I was thinking of Hallmark because my grandma, it's like her favorite thing in the world. It's like all she watches now. So I was thinking of that sort of
genre. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've always loved that sort of picturesque scene where it's like it's these two people who have something very special, and it's like bright and happy. And then I love the like pain and mystery, which sounds really cold, but it's like I love the jump, the steep fall from really happy to really low, because I feel like I can connect with that somehow.
Yeah. Oh, I love Hallmark movies too. I actually went through a phase of being obsessed with them because I stayed with my grandma for a bit a few summers ago, and one of the only channels I could find was the Hallmark channel. And so I was just like watching a bunch of Hallmark movies, and I was like, these are actually incredible. So yeah. I watched a ton of them. I got my whole family addicted to them, and we watched them for a while. And then it's always funny to me because whatever I watch, my family always watches with me, and especially my dad. So like when I was into Hallmark movies, he was really into Hallmark movies. And then I got really into Jeopardy, so he got really into Jeopardy. Yeah. And then I forced him to watch Gilmore Girls, and then he watched it with me all the time. I just think it's funny how it's like my family just watches whatever I'm watching.
I was just going to say I kind of had that with my stepmom. It's sort of like we'll end up watching the same show at the same time, and it's really funny because we watch the same kind of shows. I mean, it's like all on Netflix, but we just end up watching these like long series, but in sync. And it's very strange.
I don't know why, but watching TV and movies has always been such a like family thing for me, and it's always been like with a certain member of my family. I associate them with like a certain show, which is very interesting. But my point about the Hallmark movies is that they're so, like you said, picturesque and just pretty, and like it's always the perfect season. They always have the perfect clothes to wear and just like so pretty in the background, or like I just want to step right into it. But then
That's
there is that moment where it's like, oh gosh, everything is going wrong. This whole thing is just collapsing. And that's kind of just as interesting.
I feel that way about books a lot of the time, where it's like everything's so perfect and happy, and even if it isn't, like even if there's this like underlying sad thing going on, it's like they always find some way to keep it light and happy. And it's just so nice. And it's like I've always wanted to be part of a book. Like that's just like how I imagine my dreams and things. Like I don't want to be like an actual job. I just want to be part of a book.
Me too. That would be so great. There are so many books that I just like wanted to live in when I was younger. Like, just let me live in this universe. It was always the really like quirky girls who were like writers or artists or something, and they had like the coolest outfits and the coolest jobs at like a coffee shop or a bookstore or something. Like, basically what I manifest now to love. Like, so another thing is that I sort of noticed that each stanza has its own color palette in a way. Like you have the warm sunshine and afternoon streamers, which is very golden, and then the silver stars and the clear night and the shooting stars and that kind of thing. So it's like gold to silver, and then later on there's the red leaves and the gold, the green flowers and stuff. So was that intentional to have different color palettes and like moods for each one?
It wasn't, but I really wish that it was because that sounds very poetic. And I do like using that sort of like sensory sort of feeling because then it's like it makes it a bit more realistic and easier to like feel if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I love that sort of visualization.
Oh yeah, I agree. Another line, the loud booms of thunder that send the walls quaking, veins of bright light, then the steady pitter-patter slowly dies down. As you look at the window, you see the sun peek out through the dark plumes of the heavens. That's not a direct quote, just a couple of lines thrown together, but I love the dark plumes of heavens line and like the image of the sky just closing in darkness, and then it just kind of peaks out where the sun starts to come out and it starts to get golden again.
I love watching the sky. It's like one of my favorite hobbies. And I love when the clouds, like you can actually see the streaming of the light coming through the clouds. That's like the best thing ever. And I love rain. It's my favorite weather. So I knew that I needed to put that in there somewhere. And so I thought that would be the perfect way to do it.
I love rain too. It's so like, I feel like it's such a writer thing or like poetic thing. Like rain and like cozy vibes. And it also goes back to that rom-com idea of like being in the rain in a movie. Like that's honestly all I want to do, like with my entire life. I just want to live in a movie or in a book when it's raining and like be walking to a coffee shop or a bookstore. That's all I want.
Yeah, like having the cozy sweaters and the little
Yes,
umbrella and the coffee cup and the books and just like
and my little boots that fit me well and don't give me blisters. It's like an entire scene that I just want my entire life to be.
Yeah. Just that little like happy, fun, pretty moment.
And another cozy moment or stanza about the crisp turning of a page and the smell of old paper and ink wafting up and creating a nest in your mind, cuddling close by the fire with your puppy, with the streaks of amber and gold casting shadows upon the wooden walls. So this goes back to the golden vibe after like the silver and the green and stuff. And It was one of my favorite scenes in this because I feel like each stanza really is a scene. And like the idea of reading an old book by a fire with a puppy, it was just like, oh my gosh, that is so sweet.
I recently got a puppy, and so that's where that part came from. And I'm kind of obsessed with books. I've read 34 and counting so far this year. So
How
I'm
many?
just like 34.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I'm like obsessed with really long books. Like my book's hiding at the moment, but it's somewhere here and it's pretty large. But I'm reading a lot. It's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, I love reading and I love puppies. So this is like the best of both worlds for me. What kind of puppy did you get?
She's a black lab bulldog mix.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so cute.
Yeah. She's only 14 weeks old and she is adorable. But she's having this habit of eating everything.
Yeah, my dog, when we first got him, he was, I think, 8 weeks old. He was so tiny. And he would eat everything. He chewed through so many flip-flops and
Yeah.
so many plastic things. And he was just like crazy for a while. But now he just turned 11. So he's calmed down a bit. But he chewed through so many shoes. That was like his favorite thing to have. Like he had so many toys, but he'd always just go to a shoe.
Yeah, my dog's been doing that with my sister's shoes because they're smaller and so they fit in her mouth better. So it's been difficult.
Oh, I love dogs so much. I took care of my neighbor's cat for a while during the summer, and I like her, but I still am definitely a dog person.
Oh yeah, but dogs are much better listeners for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like cats are so unpredictable. You never know what they're gonna do. And dogs just like, I know what they're gonna do. I can anticipate like when they're gonna move, and they can't move that quickly.
Yeah, they're definitely not as fast as cats because cats are very nimble and
Silent, like absolutely silent. They make no sound. And they just come up right behind you. And I'm like, oh my God, you just gave me a heart attack. You scared me. But then, like, my dog, I hear him like
padding
foot cracking with
around.
his nails and stuff. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can hear him.
It's much easier for dogs than cats, I feel. Like, I love cats, I do. It's just, they're kind of a nuisance.
Yeah, and I feel like they're very kind of standoffish if they don't like you, or at first when you first meet them, like they will not look at you, they will not let you touch them. They're just gonna stand wherever they want to stand and like do their own thing. Whereas
Oh,
dogs
yeah.
are usually like right up next to you and they just want to get to know you and just be your best friend.
Oh, yeah. Dogs are very hyper and attention oriented, whereas cats are very, like, they like their alone time and they also love messing up everything that you're doing. Like, I had a cat for probably like 6 years, and her name was Molly, and she was a great cat. And, I loved her very much. She had this thing where she was obsessed with getting on top of my bookshelf and knocking everything off of it while I was trying to sleep. And it
Oh my
was
gosh.
awful. Yeah, she was very aggravating at times.
My parents had a cat that tried to kill me when I was younger.
No, did
Well,
it sit on your
when
face?
they had this cat, they actually had a couple of cats that were just crazy, so crazy. One of them, she would, they had these like tall cat towers, I think. Is that
Yeah.
what they're called? Towers? And she would stand at the top of it. And like swat at people. And then she would stand in doorways at like the top of a door and then reach down and swat people as they went by. She was so crazy. And then one day, I was like a week old, maybe my mom had put me down on the floor for a second. And the cat came over and she was like leaning over me, about to like swat me and scratch me. So I don't know what happened to her after that, but I'm very glad that she did not kill me.
Yeah, we had to get rid of our kitten at one point because he kept trying to sit on my sister's faces when they were infants. So suffocation isn't really a good thing to have for babies. So we couldn't keep him for very long.
Oh my gosh. Like, that part of cats just freaks me out. Like, the demons inside of them. Some cats are just possessed, and like, sorry to cat owners, but I truly believe some cats are possessed. There's this one cat, I was babysitting for this one family, and they have this really, really weird cat, and he like walked upstairs from the basement, and I looked over at him, and have you seen like a puma before with their like back is arched and stuff, and they're like posed about to attack? That's how he was looking at me, and I was excuse me. And then every time I turned around to face a different direction, he would be standing right in front of me making eye contact. Like, how did he know where I was going to look next? It was the creepiest thing ever, and it scared me so bad. So another line from your poem, your ending, and the tears finally come hot and salty and fast. You're released and nervous, but you're proud of yourself. It's all gone, the tears, the secret, the regret, gone, and you're finally at peace. What was your inspiration for ending the poem in this way?
Well, I have recently been diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and so I was trying to like center around that in some way because I cry a lot. But it's like I've been going through some rough things along with the pandemic for the last 2+ years, and so I've been having trouble expressing myself. So it's like when I am finally able to, it just like all of it pours out of me. So it was sort of about that, just that feeling of release.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely related to your description of it in the poem. I'm like, and you feel nervous to share it because you feel like you might be oversharing or this is the wrong time to share it. But at the same time, it feels so good. And like all this weight is coming off of your shoulders.
Yeah, because that's part of the anxiety part is like, I'm always worried about people judging me for how I feel. So it's always scary when I actually do end up telling people. Mm-hmm. And so after I end up actually talking to someone, I just feel so relieved and like the world has finally like stepped off of me, like as if it's on top of me all the time. So it's just very relieving.
Oh, that's a really interesting and powerful description of it, like the world's on top of you all the time. And like,
it's been hard recently, but mm-hmm. I like being able to write about it, and I like the feeling that I'm not being judged all the time, because I feel like at home and in school, I have all these responsibilities that I need to take care of. But while I'm writing with the Young Writers Project, it just feels freer. Is that a word? But, or like more free?
Freeing? I don't know.
Yeah.
That actually leads into my next question, which is how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
Well, I discovered it through my writing club, and I'm the only one who can actually access YWP because my two other members of the club are 12. So being that I'm 14, I can use it, but they have been having some trouble getting onto the website so far. So it feels like to me that since I don't like really know anybody who's on the site, it's like First of all, everything that I've written, like all of the feedback that I've gotten has been positive, and I love that so much. And it's just so nice to have this here and to get feedback and like actual suggestions for my writing, and it's just been really great.
Oh, that's so good. I'm glad that you're enjoying YWP. So how did you first become interested in writing?
Through books. I actually hated reading and writing for a very long time until 3 years ago when I got this book for my birthday, and it just like changed everything because I became obsessed with that book. I read it 9 times until the sequel came out, and then I read that 7 times. And so it was like I became obsessed with reading. And through that, I have found that I love writing stories, which is the weird thing because I never liked poetry until I found the Young Writers Project. Like, I liked reading poetry, but I was never very good at writing poetry. And so I really loved that I found that I can actually write it instead of just enjoying it from afar.
Oh, that's so cool that you've been introduced to poetry and you've been experimenting with it now. What's the book that you got as a gift?
It's called The Queen's Rising. And if you were to ask any of my friends, they would have started whining about me talking about it again because I talk about it constantly. But it's by Rebecca Ross, who is a very unknown artist, or artist, writer, you know.
What's it about?
It's about a girl named Brianna who lives in this kingdom, but she has a dual bloodline. So it's like she's from, her father's from another kingdom, and it's like the two have been warring for a very long time. And so she's like special. And so it's about her heritage and finding herself and that kind of stuff.
That sounds really good. Ooh.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Which leads me into my next question. What books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being besides this one?
I think that that's a hard one. Well, Rebecca Ross, fantastic writer. I really like I'm blanking on names. It's weird, I have all these books. Sarah J. Maas is good, though I'm not reading her until now, so I suppose she hasn't really shaped me. I think The Hunger Games, actually, which is weird, because that's like about kids going into a death match, but it's like, it's more about the little things in that series, like the little struggles, the, like before she even goes to the games. Katniss, that is, just the struggles of not being noticed and being practically alone and having her father ripped away from her, which I've never had my father ripped away from me, but I mean, I've lost some family members that I really cared about, and it's like I connect well with The Hunger Games somehow, which once again sounds really weird because of what The Hunger Games is, but I love the whole rebelling aspect to just the breaking away.
I totally get that. I think that a lot of times I relate to characters more than a plot in a book. Like one of my favorite books, Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell, it's so good. And the main character and I, like, I feel like I have a lot of similarities to her, but a lot of differences too. Like, she has a twin sister. She's away at college. She writes fan fiction. But at the same time, I don't have any of those qualities, but I feel like at the same time, we're similar because, you know, she writes something. We're both writers in some way. And I am doing college, although I'm not away from home. And she really is kind of shy to get used to new people, but then once she meets them, she's like pretty close with them. So like there are some bits and pieces here and there from the book that I relate to. And I relate to other characters for being like really brutally honest or being really friendly to other people, making coffee. Like it's little things, like you said, here and there that I relate to and that I like pick up on and feel like are a part of me.
I love being able to find those little similarities that I hold with each and every character of all the books that I read, and it just makes me feel so much more like a part of the book, which kind of relates back to what I said earlier about like dreaming to be a part of the book. And that's sort of part of that, is like feeling like I have a place in the book.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important quality as a writer and as a reader, is like having a sense of belonging in a book or in a story or in a poem, like being able to see yourself in it. So another book related question, what's the best thing that you read recently?
Recently? Oh, I've been reading, well, the best poem that I've read on YWP, in my opinion, just recently, is it's a Zoe B poem, and I think it's called Because You're a Girl. And I relate to that because there's this line in there that's saying, because you're small and it's like you're so defenseless that you need these like weapons to take care of you. And one of the girls in my class who's like pure muscle is like, oh, I'm going to get you these like pepper spray keychains for your birthday. And I'm like, I get that I'm short and I like can't carry anything more than 20 pounds. Like my dog is basically it. And I feel like it just makes me feel like, because I'm a girl, I just like can't be without these things, which is hard. But
yeah. Oh, I totally relate to that. I'm short too. I can't lift anything. I have no like upper body strength or any kind of body strength. But yeah, I feel like, well, I do think that people shouldn't assume that like girls need weapons to defend them. I feel like it's unnecessarily necessary for us to have weapons, if that makes sense. Yeah. And have something to protect ourselves. Like it's necessary, but it shouldn't be necessary.
Yeah, like there shouldn't have to be a reason for us to have to defend ourselves. It should just be like people should learn to respect us. And
I mean, I could go into a whole long debate about it.
Oh my God. Yeah. I could talk for hours about that. I am like so pro feminism and
me too.
Like, I could rant on for that about that.
Me too. Me too. But I think that's such a thing, is like, you know, women being seen as very defenseless, very weak, very like someone needs to rescue you and I can be the person to do that. And it's like, no, I can rescue myself. Thank you very much.
I can be both the damsel and the hero, because yeah. I don't need prince or knight or whatever. Because mm-hmm. I love relating this back to chess, because I love chess. But like the queen is the strongest player, so why can't we just like follow in her steps and be
right?
the stronger one? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I think that's so true. Well, another question: how would you define your writing style?
That's hard, because I write in different ways, I think. Like with poetry, I think I like being able to describe everything very deeply and detailed. But when I'm writing like a story, which I love doing and I don't do enough, I feel like I'm more about the dialogue being like perfect and sounding natural. And I feel like that takes up a lot of time. And so it's like, it's hard to describe my writing style, I do believe, but I guess it depends. Yeah, I mean, with poetry, I feel like most of the stuff that I do is about a scene of sorts, like trying to describe something or like a feeling. Whereas with my writing, I want it to be like this intricate, perfectly planned out story.
I definitely relate to that. I think that's definitely my writing style too, is that I want my short stories to be very planned out and very precise and like very much perfect. And then with my poetry, it's just kind of like a description of something or an emotion or a feeling or like a past version of myself that I'm writing to. I do that a lot. That's a very common trope in my writing. But yeah, I think it's interesting how my writing style varies depending on what genre I'm writing in. That's something I'm still trying to like kind of figure out, like, is that something I enjoy? Or is that something that I want to kind of merge, like to make my poetry style fit more like my fiction style, or my fiction style fit more like my poetry style?
I love trying to work these things out in my head too. It's like, I'll be like standing in the shower or something, trying to debate like what poetry I want to do, or like if I want to work on a story, or if I just want to like go to bed, just like trying to figure out what to do next, no matter what it is. I just love trying to like work all of these sort of little things out, just so then I'm the most prepared I can be.
For, like, me too. I'm very much a list kind of person, very much a, like, before I go to bed, I'm going to write down every single thing I want to do tomorrow. And like, before I go on a trip or somewhere away from my home, I'm going to write down every single thing I need and where I'm going to pack it. And like, I used to go on trips with my family to visit my grandparents when I was younger, and I'd pack my suitcase like 2 weeks ahead of time, so I'd be ready to go.
Yeah, I do that with like everyday things. Like, I pick out all of the clothes that I'm going to wear for the week on Sunday. And then I make a list every other day for what I'm going to do for the next 2 days. And then I'm like, I have all these planners that I never actually end up like using, because I get so distracted so easily. So it's like I write all of these lists and then I only accomplish like half of the things on the list, which makes me feel very unaccomplished. But yeah, like we go to Maine sometimes to visit family, and I make lists of everything that I need, because I've forgotten like everything before, and like my toothbrush and my hairbrush and pajamas and like everything. And so I'm very list oriented.
Yeah, I have a bullet journal that I use, and it's gone pretty well for me so far, but like I use it to keep track of homework and when homework assignments are due, and Zoom meetings I have, and writing tasks I have to get done, and like during the holidays, gifts I've gotten, gifts I still have to get, gifts I'm waiting on, when I have to wrap gifts and where I hid them and that kind of thing.
I also have a bullet journal, but I haven't used it yet because I'm working on it for next year, which it's my first bullet journal, and I am so excited because I used to watch bullet journal videos all the time, but I've never actually had one. And so it's like so exciting because I'm planning out every little thing, like all of the shows that I have to watch next year, and like my book list and my like my daily stuff and my monthly stuff and like my mood planner and or not planner, but like tracker. And it's just been so much fun trying to like create every little detail to make it perfect.
I love my bullet journal. I've gone through like 6 or 7 at this point because I started 2 years ago. And it's been so much fun. It's like so great. And it helps me so much with like getting things done and keeping track of things, because I'm very like, I have a hard time remembering things. Like things from a while ago, I can remember so easily, like names and places and people, but like short-term things, I just kind of forget about, and it's hard for me to keep track of them. So I write it all down in my bullet journal and I keep track of it that way. It's fun to have the bullet journal too, because you can get creative with like what kind of theme you want or what colors you want to use. And it's just like another form of expression, just like writing for me.
Yeah, it's just, it's really fun. Yeah, it's like, it's good to be able to customize it, because I've had planners before and they're very like boring, nondescript, colorless, just like boxes. And that's so boring. And so I love designing it all myself, because it's just very personalized. It is fun to be able to.
Yeah, and I can do it based on like my specific interests, what I'm into at the moment. And then it's fun to look back on it and see like, that's what I was really into at that time, or that's something I wasn't really into. And yeah, it's funny because I go through so many phases and hobbies and interests that don't usually last more than a couple of months. But this is the one thing, one of the few things that's lasted for 2 years, which is pretty cool, which I guess means that it works for me.
And I can't wait to actually start using it. It's going to be, I think it's going to be good for me to be able to have that as a tool that I can use.
Oh, definitely. Well, those are all of my questions.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, I've had so much fun talking with you. This has been episode 50, part 1 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 50, part 2. Bye!